This episode of the Gospel Coalition podcast is sponsored by The Good Book Company, inviting you to enjoy open Bible devotionals alongside Timothy Keller and Sam Alberry using the book 90 Days in John 14-17, Romans, and James. Visit www.thegoodbook.com for more.
This is the Gospel Coalition podcast, where we seek to renew the contemporary church in the ancient gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Colin Hansen.
This episode of the Gospel Coalition podcast is a roundtable discussion I had with Kevin DeYoung and Trevin Wax on the question of whether Christians should try to legislate morality. It was recorded in 2013.
All right, guys, we get this question all the time. Mm-hmm. Don't legislate your morality as Christians. We live in a secular nation. The Bible is not the law of the land. So, how do you respond? Should Christians legislate morality? What do you think, Trevin?
Oh, good, well, he started. Let's try that.
I was about to say, aren't you going to turn there?
Yeah.
Tough question, but I mean, I think to the person that asks that, we have to show that all legislation is in some way moral, that there are moral judgments attached to any legislation. So the question really isn't should we legislate morality, but whose morality should we legislate? Because all legislation is going in that direction. So first, I want to say to take a step back right away and say we cannot have legislation apart from moral judgments. All of our legislation is in some way or another is built upon some sort of moral foundation, moral world.
Stealing is wrong.
Yes.
Or
murder is wrong.
Yes.
Whose morality are we legislating now then? How do you explain that?
That's a good question.
Okay, Kevin.
Well, in a democracy or whatever we have, I mean, it is supposed to be the probably what our elected officials want to enforce or our unelected justices. Okay. But I would say here's where, as Christians, we need to step back, and what Trevin said is so helpful, to get the big picture, and then say, well, why would we legislate certain moral beliefs or values? So we think gossip is a sin. And yet I don't hear Christians saying legislate gossip. Make it a criminal statute against gossiping.
Some pastors might vote for that.
Yeah, might vote for it. Well, one, it's terribly hard to enforce. And number two, there needs to be some sort of what and this is here as I'm thinking of as an American, I guess, but what sort of right is being violated? You know, there's a difference between positive rights and negative rights. And so if we have a right, God-given, not to be killed. We have a right, God-given, for things in our possession not to be forcibly taken from us. So it really has to do a lot with your view of government. And I think from natural law and from scriptural principles and from the founding of this country, that law is meant to protect those God-given rights, essentially, to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, the question that you raise, which I don't think anyone can answer, is how do we decide and what is the legitimate pursuit of happiness? Because we don't have any sort of shared virtue in this country. We're just coming to a breaking point where it will be increasingly difficult.
Well, let's talk about abortion, for example. A lot of Christians, I was in a seminary classroom on ethics, and the room was almost entirely agreed. Abortion should be legal. Okay, this was a seminary classroom, people studying to be pastors, young Christians.
And yet they would say it was wrong.
They would say it was
wrong. It's wrong, murder.
They were wrong, but their argument was law doesn't change hearts. Gospel changes hearts. And in fact, Christians' pursuit of making abortion illegal has made us unpopular, which makes it then more difficult for us to be able to preach the gospel and change lives. So they would say,
wrong, wrong.
Okay, well, explain why, though. It's almost interesting. They're like, abortion should be legal so that we can change hearts with the gospel. That was the argument, essentially. How do you respond?
Well, I mean, that question has to do with what is the unborn child? It's a human person. I imagine that these same people would be happy for strictures in the law against taking their life, because presumably there's some value or dignity. So it has to do with who is this child in the womb, a human person deserving of all of the rights that a human person should have. And I think that the reason we get so tied up in knots about this is we don't understand the law also has a pedagogic function, which means the law does teach things. And Christians have just no conception of that, that there are certain things that the fact that we have a law does provide plausibility structures for sharing a Christian worldview. And yes, certain things are going to be unpopular, but the unborn in the womb are deserving of that, whether it makes us disliked by our campus group or not.
Let me give you an example of this, see what you think. So I live in an area where deep struggles with racial tensions, segregation, mm-hmm. the long legacy of slavery. A lot of good churches have been there for a long time that preached the gospel. Their hearts were not changed in terms of racism by the gospel, but the laws changed and the hearts started to change. Wouldn't that be a counterexample? Nobody argues the civil rights movement shouldn't have passed laws because it didn't change the hearts.
You wouldn't say that the law actually changed the hearts, but what the law
did plausibility
is
structure.
Back to the plausibility structure.
Right.
So the law is there also to teach, but also to restrain evil. So you have laws that are put in place for civil rights, for example, what you're restraining the evil of prejudice based on race. I mean, that's one of the things that those laws are intended to do. And so I can't imagine what it would have been like if in the 1960s and 50s and 60s, right. Christians had sat back and said, we can't change a racist heart. So we're just not going to even work for any sort of laws for justice for African-American brothers and sisters.
Martin Luther King, who said, was it in letters to Birmingham jail, but where he said, you may not be able to legislate to change a man's heart, but it can stop a man from lynching me. And that's pretty important, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is key. And we ought to, before all of our time's gone, talk about the issue that's on everyone's mind,
sure.
and that is gay marriage or so-called marriage. Well, and is that a proper place for Christians to legislate their morality, or are we arguing for something else?
Well, let's talk about the distinction here. So we're not saying that sodomy should be illegal again. Or at least
though
most Christians.
It was a decade ago.
Right. Again, talking about plausibility structures.
Right.
Again, if we were talking to our grandparents or our great-grandparents, they wouldn't have seen any problem with that.
Bestiality is illegal.
Sure, right. Okay, so we got some of it just, and when I was saying, what morality are we legislating? Where are we getting this from? There's a gut level assumption, change.
The idea, though, that gay marriage is a Christian morality being, that traditional marriage is a Christian morality being enforced, just ignores the fact that this is not just a Christian point of view. This is also the point of view held by the vast majority of the people in the world. If you go back centuries and centuries and centuries to the way civilization has been, Christians, non-Christians, Muslims, Jews, you've got all sorts of different groups that have believed marriage is man-woman.
Keep going.
So it's just not just a Christian issue.
Well, and before, people say, well, this is a bigoted view, you need to say, well, until 15 years ago, there was no country that we knew of that had this alternate form of marriage. And the question really...
But people don't care.
Well,
I mean,
no,
you can say
care.
That, but they don't care.
But the question that I think we need to keep coming back to as Christians, number one, what is marriage? Because it quickly becomes, it's about human rights, it's about equality. We're saying, well, what is marriage? So that gets us into a question. And number two, what is the government's role? Why does the government even bother with marriage? It's to incentivize a certain type of family structure that is best for societal stability and human flourishing.
But of course, best is a moral argument, and you're going to get pushback on that.
And rights is where, this issue is being framed around certain benefits that come from marriage and everyone having the right to those benefits. But one of the questions we have to ask people who are pushing on the rights end is, really, when it comes down to it, gay marriage is also discriminatory because it's discriminating. It's only saying two rather than more.
Still two.
It's you're not seeing fathers marrying daughters. So incest is laws against that are discriminatory. There's no way eventually to begin pushing past discrimination and into other rights unless you unravel the entire institution, which I think is something
we're seeing. Right. That's what we're seeing. The authority question to me is so crucial. Like, what authority are we appealing to? Interestingly, with gay marriage, look at how when gay marriage was a minority viewpoint, people appealed to the rights. These are constitutional, these are inalienable rights to happiness, to pursuing happiness. Now that it's become
a moral argument,
absolutely, but now that it's become a majoritarian view, all of a sudden, it's like, hey, the will of the people rules. You know, get out of the way. This is what people think.
Right.
And that's difficult for Christians. We're gonna need a lot more help know, then maybe this conversation just gets that going. But we need a lot more help to know, how do we help people to find an authority outside of themselves?
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the Gospel Coalition podcast. For more gospel-centered resources, visit thegospelcoalition.org.